so excited to have joining me this morning on the show, long-lost friend, no, good friend, Luke Hilgeman from T. Roosevelt Action, Executive Director. Good morning, Luke. How are you?
I'm doing great, Meg. It's great to be back with you.
Sorry, I should have picked some more rock and music, maybe some Jerry Schmidt or something, and that would have pepped us up a bit. But so let's start by talking about a victory that I guess in working with Governor Ron DeSantis, T. Roosevelt Action has a great friend in Republican Governor DeSantis.
Yeah, man, it was great last week in the governor's State of the State speech. He came out and endorsed the constitutional right to fish and hunt being forever protected in Florida. If your listeners remember, this is something that T. Roosevelt Action and our sister organization, the International Order of T. Roosevelt, have been working extensively on, not only in Florida, but in multiple states across the country. There are only 23 states that currently have a constitutionally protected right to hunt and fish in their state constitutions. And we see this as a fundamental freedom issue. States need to pass these protections because the threats to our sports are real and lasting. There's a group, actually, probably the biggest threat that we see coming in the states, is a group called Wildlife for All, which has a touchy-feely, fuzzy name, but at the end of the day, they're another anti-hunting animal welfare group that is literally collecting 10,000 signatures a month in the state of Oregon to criminalize, yes, make it a crime, to catch fish, harvest wild game, and most forms of farming. We not only saw it in the states, but we see it at the federal level, too, where the Biden administration passed a lead bullet ban, which will basically ban all of the most popular hunting cartridges from being used on our federal public lands. And they also included in that fishing sinkers and hooks. So if you go to the store, most of what you buy is made out of lead because it's cheap, it's effective, and it helps most average people be able to pursue these sports, and the Biden administration tried to ban them. And then you take a look at what they did, and this is another topic that we need to discuss, is they tried to pass a Safe Schools Act in Congress last year, and included in there was a provision that prevented, basically said on page 1,000 of, 2,000 pages of gobbledygook, mm-hmm. that they were going to cut funding for schools having archery in the schools programs and hunter education programs in our public schools. Thankfully, Congress did act and worked in a bipartisan fashion to undo that harm, but it's no doubt that the threats to hunting and fishing have never been more high, and we need to do a lot more of this type of activity, like T. Roosevelt Action is leading the charge across the country to protect these fundamental freedoms before they're gone.
Gosh, they are masterful at the deceptive titles of their initiatives, Wildlife for All, except for, hunters and fishermen, and Safe Schools Act. How is it safe not to educate children on, the outdoors, outdoor sports, etc.? So, Luke, and I wasn't aware of this Wildlife for All organization. Talk directly about what the consequences are of banning fishing and hunting if that were to ever happen in any state or throughout the country.
Yeah, so if you take a look at this group that's leading this charge, it's not only in Oregon. Their next steps are, of course, they start on the West Coast and the Left Coast, and they move across the country. This is their test balloons that they try all across the country. The next states that will be up for these similar types of criminalizing hunting and fishing are Washington State and New Mexico. And as somebody who hunts elk in New Mexico every year, I can tell you that if they're successful in passing that, it will crush that state's economy. And what they're doing is just it's beyond even comprehension what some of these groups are organized to do. At the end of the day, I think it goes back to they want to try and limit our ability to provide for ourselves and our families by going out, finding renewable, reliable sources of protein. And if they can do that, they know that we all become more dependent on the government. And at the end of the day, Meg, I think that's all part of their grand plan is to make us more controllable.
Well, I would concur. I mean, I guess the other part of it, I would imagine, is if people are on are prevented from fishing or hunting anymore, what does that do to the populations of deer and other animals that are hunted, as well as fish in lakes and oceans everywhere.
Yeah, and we've seen this, right? It ends in death and destruction, some of the worst types for the wild game and the wild animals on our landscape. If you don't responsibly manage these populations of wild game, disease and other terrible things move in, because at the end of the day, Mother Nature will intersect and will take care of the problem. And at the end of the day, it just results in terrible death for a lot of these animals that, again, we are taking home and feeding our families and providing millions of meals for the less fortunate across America. That's one of the biggest things that hunters do. We donate a lot of wild game to feed the less fortunate across America.
So talk about outdoors men and women and their voting patterns, because I was shocked to learn how many of these people do not vote in elections.
Yeah, and it's one of the biggest issues that we uncovered now working 5 years in this hunting, fishing, conservation space. Less than half of America's hunters, so that means there's 7.5 million of us, are sitting out almost every election. Less than half of hunters in America vote. And we pulled the numbers on fishermen, too, and anglers. And it's equally disturbing, right? You take a look at the state of Florida, where we have the ballot initiative that is on the ballot now in Florida after passing with the governor's support down there, 154-1 out of their state legislature. So it's a bipartisan bill. But you take a look at the anglers not voting in Florida, and you get a population in the fishing capital of the world of 1.3 million anglers in the state of Florida who haven't voted in two out of their last three state elections. So on one hand, I just walked through all of the threats that are happening to our pastimes and our pursuits and what we love to do in the outdoors, but yet less than half of us even take the time to register to vote and go out and pick the leaders who are going to impact the policies that literally allow us to hunt and fish. It's one of the most disturbing things that I see every day.
One of the conversations I had with Senator Felskowski last week when she was a guest was the frustration that has been expressed to her by hunters here in Wisconsin that they didn't get a deer, nor did they even see a deer. What's the reasoning, in your opinion, about why that has happened here?
Total mismanagement by the Tony Evers Department of Natural Resources. It is literally that simple for hunters across northern Wisconsin, and I talk to a lot of them, right? And the other problem that we have, Meg, is we have an out-of-control predator population led by wolves that are taking over more and more of the landscape, not only in northern Wisconsin, but they're moving into the southern parts of the state as well. And with these types of apex predators that on average will kill 40 deer per year, if we don't do something soon to get a handle on these predator populations, not just wolves, but coyotes, bears, bobcats even, right? These predators are starting to kill more deer in northern parts of the state than hunters do. That's one of the biggest problems we have, and unfortunately, the Evers administration was complicit in that. If you remember, and your listeners remember, I sued the state of Wisconsin when I was running Hunter Nation back in the day to allow our wolf hunt that's statutorily required to move forward. And I did it not only on statutory grounds, but I did it on constitutional grounds as well. And we won that case. And the state immediately had to open a wolf hunt where in 72 hours, Wisconsin hunters killed 218 wolves. 72 hours, 218 wolves. And our DNR is telling us that there's only maybe 1,000 of those wolves on the landscape. I'd love to believe that hunters are that effective and that we could go out and manage that population and kill almost 25% of them in 72 hours. But Meg, we know that just isn't the case. And unless we change governors and get someone in there who is pro-hunting and wants to help hunters manage these populations by allowing seasons like this to exist, we're going to continue to see this decline in white-tailed deer hunting across the state.
They don't want us to be independent. So here's an anecdotal story for you. My husband had a gig up north last Saturday up in the Minocqua area, and on his trip back, he had to obviously lock him up because initially he thought, oh, this is a bunch of deer crossing the highway, but it was actually a pack of wolves, and he was really shocked by how big they are. He's seen pictures of them, never a wolf up close. But why not open up a hunting for deer for a full week like they do, or excuse me, for wolves like they do for deer?
Yeah, exactly what we need. And unfortunately, the Evers administration worked with the federal government to place the wolf back under federal protection under the Endangered Species Act, which is another step that we need to take, is cleaning up that. I mean, we can't have an Endangered Species Act that has populations like the wolf that is fully recovered across the entire area of their of where they exist and say that they're endangered. They're fully recovered. The populations are bigger and more than we ever thought they could be, and we need to responsibly manage these predators before they continue to kill all of the rest of the wild game that we see across these states.
Well, and let's just say, in summary, I mean, the left is out to take away our rights and our freedoms guaranteed by the Constitution. I mean, a couple examples. There's a trial against the NRA right now, which I don't believe they may claim that it has to do with the financials, the civil trial against NRA and the NRA leader, former NRA leader Wayne LaPierre. But it's really ultimately, the NRA is a powerful organization. And then even with what Senator Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren is doing in reintroducing this overhaul to the Second Amendment, how can this stand, Luke?
Well, unfortunately, you're exactly right, right? They target groups that are effective, that stand for freedom, and try and take us down. And in the case of the NRA, you know, with a new leader at the helm of that, we need a strong NRA. They are the most fierce defender of our Second Amendment freedoms across the country. And we hope that this case goes well for the NRA. And at the end of the day, we need them back in the fight with us every day, protecting our Second Amendment freedoms. But then you take a look at what they're trying to pass as gun control, right? The Democrats have done these national polls that show that, well, they believe that this is a political winner for them to go out and confiscate our guns. Let's call it what it is, Meg. It's not gun control. It's not an assault weapons ban. It's confiscating guns from law-abiding citizens who use these guns to protect themselves. And maybe they should take a look at the fact that 330 million guns exist in America. And that means that one in four households in America actually have a firearm in their house to protect themselves, their families, and their property. And I think my message back to Republicans in Washington is turn it around on them. Use it as a winner, right? If you talk about gun ownership as a fundamental freedom that most Americans, again, we have record numbers of gun sales happening for the last 5 years here in America. And you take a look at who these people are that are buying guns to protect themselves and their families, and 50% of them are women. 50% of new gun owners in America are women. 40% are Latin American people that are trying to buy these guns to protect themselves in communities that are being overrun by criminals and thugs who, regardless of the law that we pass, are not going to lay down their guns. They're going to continue to use firearms in an illegal fashion to carry out their crimes. And the only thing, at the end of the day, the fundamental truth, the only thing that stops a bad person with a gun more often than not is a good person with a gun.
Amen. T. Roosevelt Action Executive Director Luke Hilgeman, thanks for joining me. Hey, what's your website?
It's iotr.org. Go to our website, check it out, join the fight, and make sure you make your voices heard.
IOTR.org. Thanks, Luke. Hope you have a great day. I appreciate you joining me this morning.
Thank you, Meg.
Take care. Going to a break. We'll be right back on the WSAU Wisconsin Morning News.
More Meg.